This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. So like a lot of kids growing up, I liked to play sports. And one of the sports that I played was football. And I remember my freshman year of football, something incredible happened to the football program that I went to school at, something that had never happened before in the history of the school. You see, during the first few weeks, all the football players in the school are divided up into different teams. You have the varsity team, which is the juniors and the seniors. You have the sophomore team, which is the sophomores, and then the freshman team. And because there were so many freshmen that went out for football, they had the A team and the B team. And the first week of the first game came, and every single team, all four teams, won their first game. The second week came, and once again, all the teams won again. And then the third and the fourth week came, and once again, all the teams won. Everybody around the school began to take notice, even my gym teacher. My gym teacher, who was not one of the football coaches, but was a football fan nonetheless, took a lot of pride in reporting each and every week that all four teams were undefeated. I mentioned before that I was a freshman and that we were split up into the A team and the B team. And because I was not particularly great at football, I was on the B team. But this gave me the benefit of being able to start and play and not having to try to keep up with the A players. And I remember we got into the sixth week of the season and we were still all undefeated. We were all so excited and we wondered that perhaps maybe all four teams could win all nine games and none of us would lose. As a freshman, we played our games on Saturday morning, and I remember waking up during the sixth week on a Saturday morning to a huge rainstorm. And those of you who know football know that it is not canceled simply because of the rain. But the rain can be a great equalizer in a football game because, you see, it makes everything that much more difficult. It makes it especially difficult to be able to score because, you see, it's harder to throw the ball in the rain, it's harder to run in the mud, and it's easier for the ball to slip out of your hands into the other team. And this team that we were playing was very good, and we went out and we gave it our best. And for most of the game, the score was 0-0 until finally the other team slipped through and ran for a touchdown, bringing the score to 6-0. Me and my teammates tried as hard as we could, as desperately as we could, to once again score, even the score, maintain our undefeated record, but we could not do it. We could not do it, and we lost the game. I remember walking off that field filled with mud, tired, worn out, but most of all, feeling that sense of loss. Feeling that we had lost an opportunity to do something historic, something the school had never done. Feeling like we had lost all the hope and possibilities of a perfect season. Feeling that we had not only let ourselves down, but let the school down. And my brother and I, who played on the team together, rode home in the back of my dad's truck, dejected and not saying a word. I share this story with you because we all experience loss in our life and in our world. And for many of us, these losses are much more profound than a game. As we consider the events of this past week in Texas, we consider unimaginable and unspeakable loss. We consider grief that few of us can wrap our heads around, that makes us want to look away, that makes us wonder, why do things happen like this? What can we do to prevent and stop it in the future? And where does a good God come in to all of this? You see, there are days and weeks and months of our life where God does seem good, where God's promises and blessings seem to shine on through. When we experience a blessing in our life, when someone in our life achieves a goal or reaches a place of health or peace or prosperity, we lift up that we and they are blessed. We see the goodness of God in those things. But can we see the goodness of God in tragedy? Can we wrap our minds around how God might be good even when life is not? Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John. And it takes place during the Last Supper, the supper that Jesus had with his disciples before he would go and die on the cross. And Jesus gives them many instructions, many directions about what to do in his absence, about how he will send them the Holy Spirit. But the scripture and the passage that we hear today is called the farewell prayer, meaning it is Jesus' prayer for his disciples and for us before he goes to heaven. And one of the things that I feel deeply that Jesus is feeling in this scripture reading is concern. Concern not so much for himself, even though he is going to go to the cross and die, but concern for his disciples, and in turn, concern for us. Because he understands that being a follower of him, being a Christian in this world, in this life, is not always easy. That being in the Christian in this world tries us and tests us. That it often weighs on us because the world weighs on us. And so Jesus prays desperately for us, that God would give us certain things, that God would bless us in certain ways. But above all, Jesus asks that God would help us remember that we are in the world, but we are not of this world. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. You see, that's an important thing to remember any day of our life, but especially during difficult and dark days in our life and in our world, that we are in this world, but not of this world. That while we spend time here on earth, we don't not ultimately belong to earth, but we belong to God, and we belong to heaven. And see, that changes the way that we see and experience tragedy, both in our own life, but also that which we see in the world. 1 Thessalonians puts it this way. It says that as Christians, we are called not to grieve as those who have no hope. Now, there's a couple of important things that we learn from this passage, that we are called not to grieve as those who have no hope. The first thing to remember is that as Christians, we are called to grieve, that we are called to express and experience grief and loss. You see, some people think that being a Christian is like putting spiritual hand sanitizer on yourself, that all the bad things of this world will be repelled off of you, that God will protect you from any pain or suffering or heartaches, and that even if you experience these things, you're supposed to just sort of let them roll off your shoulders. You're supposed to just sort of brush them off because, right, we're all going to heaven, that God's in control, God's in charge. How bad could things really be? But to do this is not the Christian way. It's not the Jesus way. We can remember in the Gospels when Jesus first goes to the grave of Lazarus, his friend, the scripture tells us that Jesus does not simply cry. It doesn't tell us that Jesus does not simply tear up. It tells us that Jesus actually weeps. And to weep is not something where we cry with simply our eyes, but to weep is to give our whole body to grief, our whole spirit to grief. There are times in this world where people, and maybe you have experienced situations like this, will experience grief so powerful, so profound, that it's something that affects their whole body and their whole soul. We must allow grief in our hearts because, first of all, grief is an honest emotion. It's an honest feeling. And that if we are to have an authentic relationship with God, we must be honest about our feelings, not only to ourselves, but also to Him as well. But it's also important for us to grieve because grief moves us to a place of compassion. You see, to not grieve, to not feel things, to not experience sadness means that we're apathetic, that we don't care, that we're not concerned about the things that happen in this world, the things that happen to people that we care about, and even people that we do not know. You see, grief can make us more sensitive. It can make us more aware. It can call us to action, to do things, to make the world a more just and compassionate place. And we are called to grieve. But the scripture in Thessalonians also says that we are called not to grieve as those who have no hope. And what that means is that we are not to grieve in such a way that leads us to a place of despair, but we are called to grieve that leads us to a place of hope. And hope is not the absence of grief. Hope is not the sadness goes away necessarily, but hope is the belief that there is something beyond the grief, beyond the sadness. And as Christians, we have such a hope. As I think about this past week, I am also led to think about this weekend. I'm led to think about Memorial Day, the day in which our country sets aside to honor those who have given their life so that we might live in freedom, so that we might live in the country that we live. And when I consider Memorial Day, I feel like as a country and as a people, those who observe Memorial Day understand what it means to grieve with a sense of hope. You see, Memorial Day is not a day of celebration. It is not a day of parties and excitement, but it's a solemn occasion. It's a solemn day. Because it's a day that we remember people who died. But Memorial Day, while it is a solemn day, while it is in a sense a day of mourning, is also a day of hope. It's a day of hope because we know that those who have died for our country have not died in vain. That their life, their sacrifice, gave way to something greater than themselves. People of God, this is the Christian message in and of itself. That Jesus goes to the cross so that his death may give way to something greater. You see, Jesus goes to war when he goes to the cross. And he does not go to war against another country. He does not go to war against another religion. He does not go to war against another person. Jesus goes to war with death itself. And Jesus wins the war. And so when we see death, when we see loss, we experience grief. Because death and loss is often tragic, is often unfair, is often not right. But we also see that as the scriptures say, death has lost its sting. Death has lost its ultimate power to hold a person and to hold a soul forever. And it doesn't matter whether a person lives a nice long life, or it doesn't matter whether life ends tragically far, far too soon. That while we lose people in this life and in this world, no one is lost to God. I remember the story Lord of the Rings, and it's this great and epic tale about two people, Sam and Frodo, who travel across the world to throw a ring into a pit of lava. And at the end of their long and arduous journey, they throw the ring into this fire and destroy it, complete their mission, but believe and are convinced that they too will die in the end. And they collapse in their exhaustion and their faint. But in their exhaustion and when they faint, they are eventually rescued. And the one person, Sam, wakes up and sees his family and friends surrounding him. He is in his bed back home, safe and secure. And he turns to his one friend and he says, "I thought you were dead." And then he says, "But I thought I was dead. Does every sad thing come untrue?" Author of this book, J.R.R. Tolkien, was a Christian himself, and he put this line in intentionally because he wanted to create this mythology for us to understand what heaven was truly like. You see, heaven is not simply the place where everything is good, where there's no more pain. Heaven is the place where every sad thing that happens in this life and this world becomes untrue. When we see tragedy in our own life and in our own world, may we experience that and grieve that. May we experience compassion and work to make our world a more just place. But may we also look at these things with hope. I want to leave you with a parting thought, a call to action as people of God, as the body of Christ. That there are two places as Christians you don't want to be. You don't want to be in a place where you feel like you have to fix everything, where you feel like you have to take on all the world's problems and fix every single problem and address every single issue. That's not your job. That's God's job. That's the Savior's job. But you also don't want to be in the place where you feel like you have to fix nothing. That the world, as some say, is going to hell in a handbasket, and there's nothing that you or I or anyone can do. No, you are here for a reason, and God calls you to be a witness and to act and to give a response. So may you remember that you may not be called to fix everything, but you can fix some things. And may you remember the things that you cannot fix, the things that slip through your fingers and through mine, that God will make all things right and all things that were good, good again in the end. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity to remember that your Son Jesus is deeply concerned about us and our world. Call us to action. Call us to hope. Call us to compassion so that we might be your hands and feet in a broken world. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.